First John chapter 5. I know that there's no place in this world that I would have coveted being more than where I've been this weekend. Right here with you folks worshiping the Lord. And isn't it amazing? You come back up in this, I call it a hollow. I don't know what you guys call it. You know, to come up here and disconsider the songs that we've sang this weekend. That song that we just sang. The truth of that song is absolutely astounding. And what's so astounding that you bunch of simple people have been taught the truths of that song.
Yes, yes, sir. Yes.
You go up here to your big cathedrals. Look at the multitudes this morning in these mega churches. You're close to you folks.
Yeah.
That know nothing.
No, exactly.
The Lord has just passed by.
Yes. Exactly.
And come here.
Yes.
Can you imagine the people, the Pharisees and the scribes, that those angels, that heavenly host, the morning of the birth of our Lord, that they passed by the temples, passed by the synagogues, all the religious activities that were going on, and appeared to a bunch of shepherds on a hillside working the night shift. If they'd have been working the day shift, they'd have been more important, but they were working night shift. Isn't that what the Lord does? You know you're somebody, you're something, the world looks upon you. You're seeking a name, a reputation, a legacy, and the Lord just passes you by. And He goes up the hollow to a bunch of nobodies, and He opens the heart, and He teaches you of His gospel. That's amazing to me. It's just absolutely amazing. I met a Presbyterian. He was a Greek Presbyter. Petros Roukas was his name. Huge Presbyterian church. But he preached the gospel. And I was driving a truck. I was nothing. Probably a fifth grade education if I could have had a fifth grade education. But I sat and talked with him. And he stood there and finally he said, wait a minute. He said, I don't know if I'm hearing you rightly or not. He said, you're too clear on these things. Where'd you go to school? Where'd you learn this at? You know? And it sort of throwed me back because I thought to myself, well, if the Lord's taught you, the same God that taught him taught me. And it had nothing to do with his 18 years of education and his doctorate and all of this. It's amazing, ain't it? It's amazing. How much education you got?
12th grade. And I did study a little under Jay Wimberly.
Lord still had to open your heart, didn't
he? Yeah. I'm dumb as a post.
Oh, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. 1 John chapter 5, look at this. This may be somewhat scattering this morning. We'll get through it. Let's begin reading in verse 9. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. And this is the witness of God which He hath testified of His Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son, the record of God. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God.
Amen.
The record of God. That's what I want to think about this morning. I know in the broadest sense of the word, maybe just a little bit out of the context here, in the broadest sense of the word, the record of God is the entire Bible.
Yes, sure.
The Old Testament and the New Testament.
Sure.
There's not a book, there's not a chapter, there's not a word in this Bible that originated in the mind of a man. Man wrote it, naturally he wrote it. He's the instrument. But it all came from the very mouth of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. A great company, we find a lot of men wrote the scriptures over a period of several hundred, even thousands of years. But it had the same source. It originated in the very heart and thoughts and minds of God.
Yes.
The Lord gave the word, and great was the company of those who published it. And you know, He's preserved this record for us.
He has.
Yes, sir.
He gave it from His heart. They wrote it down, and all of these years, He's preserved this record for us. Now, has He told us everything?
No.
He hasn't, has He? Can you imagine what a book we would have if He told us everything? We couldn't find anything, could we?
No. Right.
Where would we turn to?
Yeah.
John even said if all the things that Christ did was written, the world itself could have not have contained the books. But what our faithful covenant God has done, He has given us a book in which is everything that is needful and essential for us to know and believe. To know Him, to believe Him, to worship Him, and to live for His glory. He's given us everything we need to honor Him and everything we need for our safety in this life. We need nothing else. This is the record. And as you and I open up our Bibles, we have this record. We still have the record of God given to us. And you know, as I get older, and you probably feel the same way, as I get older, and as we see these things happening in our country today, and we feel like the foundations of our country have been assaulted, and the foundations of our institutions being removed, and everything is so shaky, and everything is so uncertain, isn't it a comfort to your mind to come here and just open this Bible and say, this is the record? This is the record. What joy, what stability, what confidence it gives you in your mind when you see everything else crumbling and this word that abideth forever, that endures forever. Wonderful, isn't it? I remember when Paul and that group was on the ship and they got in that storm. Remember that? I think it's in Acts 26. They'd went for days and they hadn't seen the moon or the stars or the sun. That heavy storm there in the Mediterranean Sea, and stayed on them for days. Can you imagine how sick they were? They hadn't ate. And the Bible finally said all hope that we should be saved was taken away. Paul went down and was absent from them for a while, and he come back up and says, brethren, be of good cheer.
Yeah, that's right.
Be of good cheer.
Yeah.
The storm is still upon us.
Yeah.
But listen. The angel of the Lord appeared to me, the angel of God whose I am. I'm God's, I'm His servant. It appeared to me and told me that everything was going to be fine. And you know what he said? Here's why he said, be of good cheer. I believe God.
Amen.
About what? What he said. That it shall be just as it was told me. And don't you find comfort when you open this Bible up and say, this is God's record, and whatever He says in you is going to be that way?
Yes.
It doesn't matter what man does it?
No.
It doesn't matter what our society does, where they tear down or build up. It don't matter. What God has said in His Word is going to stand
it
forever.
Yeah.
One man said, I'd rather be in the Word as to be in heaven. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but thy word shall never pass away. He won't, will it?
That's right.
The record that God gave of His Son. I was talking with a young man the other day, and some of you here that's younger now, you've probably gone through this, but we have this big debate now in our colleges and high schools about, you know, divine creation versus evolution. And boy, you talk to young people, and I'm telling you, there have been young believers, even in high school and down in grade school and in their colleges, man, they're fighting a battle.
Yeah.
Now, they're in the work, Mike, or your young people, some young couples that I know that's in the colleges and things. Man, they'll come and say, you know, this is what they're teaching us.
Yeah.
And they got these sly threats. You either adapt our theory or you won't get a good grade.
Right. Oh, yeah. Right.
We'll cut your grade.
Right.
And they want to know what do we do? You know, what do we do? And I tell you, they're suffering a battle. Boy, they're in the heat of the battle. We got these fellows that talks about the world evolving, the universe evolving. And one fellow said, well, I don't know how long it took. Said, take as long as you need, 300 years, 500 million years, you know. Isn't it amazing that men will get off on things that's so contrary to the Word of God?
Yes.
That we look at these things around us, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. And they tell us that there was, well, that's not for sure. It may have happened like this. It could have happened. These sails, they're not really sure where it came from, where life really originated from. But there was probably this great explosion some hundreds of millions of years ago. And out of that explosion come this vast creation that's still expanding out. They say they know that now because they've got the telescopes and they see where it's still expanding. And this magnificent creation just exploded and came into being. And man, with all of his complex system, his nerve system, his digestive system, his thought system, fearfully and wonderfully made, it just so happened in this explosion that he came into being. The sun rises every day. 1,000 years from now, they can tell you the exact minute when the sun's going to rise. All the order that's in this creation, and it all just accidentally came out of this explosion. And they tell us their system is not a faith system. You're going to have a lot of faith to believe that. Now, I'm telling you the truth. Isn't that not so? I told this one young man, I said, listen. Here's these two sides. We got that side. We got that side. And then we have the other side that says the worlds were framed by the Word of God.
Amen.
And here's the mystery of God creating all things. When you read the first chapter of the book of Genesis, just take it literally.
Right.
Just take it literally. Those 6 days of creation, don't try to turn that into a million years equals one day. Every time, every day, he said, the Lord said, God said, God said. And every time he said, something came into being. And that's the mystery of it all, isn't it? That's the wonder of it all. It happened suddenly. I had my neighbor, and he professes to be a Christian. I was asking him about this, and he said, I believe in divine evolution. He said, I believe that God got it started, and then he watched it evolved. He's going to cover all these bases, isn't he?
Yeah.
But here, see, here is this. This is what makes this creation so wonderful. It happened so immediately.
Right, yes, sir. Right, brother. That's the amazing.
God spake,
yes,
and it was done.
Yes.
He commanded, and it stood fast.
Yeah.
In six days, he did that. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Amen.
They're wanting to get us on this slippery slope of evolution, and everything God does, He just gradually doing it, you know. No. When God does something, well, He does it, doesn't He? When He come to you and made you new, was that a process? Did that happen? Did you experience the new birth over 3 or 4 years or something? He didn't, did He? When the Lord came and healed those people, how often was it said, immediately Amen. They were made whole.
Amen.
Immediately he Amen. Received his sight.
Yes, exactly. Amen.
Paul tells us about the resurrection, the day of the resurrection. And he said, brother, I'm going to show you a mystery. Uh-huh. We've often heard about the resurrection. And Job said, if a man dies, shall he live again? And Paul said, I'm going to let you in on this mystery. God's revealed it to me.
Right,
he said, I'm going to show you how fast it's going to take place.
Right.
He said, the Lord Jesus Christ someday, when it's all finished and his mystery is finished, his work is finished, his purpose is fulfilled, he's going to rise from the throne and he's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and in the twinkling of an eye, the dead's going to raise. That's not evolution, is it?
No.
That's immediate. That's a miracle, brother.
Right.
That's a miracle. They're going to get up out of the ground. They're going to be changed and fashioned like unto the Lord. And they're going to forever be with the Lord. But here, I'm getting off. I'm sorry I'm getting off. But listen, here's what I told this young man. I said, here is your two sides. You got your evolutionist with their theory, and you got the Word of God. You got your Bible, and it comes down to this. Who are you going to believe?
Right.
Amen.
Right. That's Amen. What it boils down.
Ain't that it?
That's it.
That's it? Oh, if I just had some more evidence. We got all the evidence we need right here.
Yeah.
This is the record that God has given us of everything you and I need to know.
Right.
And I tell you, when you begin to see it, when you believe it.
Amen.
We ain't seeking for evidence so we can believe. We believe.
Amen.
And when you believe, you'll begin to see the evidence all around you.
I love
science. I don't know very much about it, but I love it. I love to see some of the things that they've discovered.
Sure.
Man, when they discovered gravity, they were so happy it just tickled them to death. They did. They wrote books about it, about discovering gravity. Can you imagine what would happen if there wasn't gravity? We'd be tied to this earth somewhere or another with something, wouldn't we? Who did that? I'm glad they discovered that. I'm glad they can tell us about that. But who was it that did that?
Right.
It was our Savior.
Yes,
our Savior. Our Savior. He was in the world. Who was in the world? The Son of God. He was in the world through the womb of a virgin, and the world was made by Him. Oh, you see this star universe? I was reading the other day, they said now they don't know how many billions of galaxies there is. We live in this little Milky Way galaxy. And they said now we've discovered billions. And each galaxy has stars now and planets we don't even know how to. We can't even number them. They said, who did that? My Savior.
Yes.
Your Savior.
Yes.
Our covenant God did that. How do we know He did that? In 6 days, the Lord our God created the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is.
Amen.
We went over there yesterday to the gorge. Is that what you call it, the gorge, where we went to that? Man, stood there and looked. I guess we stood there and looked at that ditch for about, an hour and a half? But you know what? We were sitting there talking about. Probably that meb took place during the flood.
Yeah. Good.
But isn't it beautiful?
Yeah.
You know what the Lord does? Even when He comes and makes devastation, He leaves behind some beauty, doesn't He?
Yes,
and He sent that flood in judgment and devastated, but look at the beauty that He's left behind. And He did it.
He did.
He did it. Who are you going to believe?
There you go.
Him? You going to believe the record? Are you going to try to wait till man convinces you and gives you enough evidence? His maybes and supposes and all that stuff.
Right.
Believe the record. And then you'll see the evidence. You'll see the glory all around you. You'll see it.
Yes, sir.
One man wrote that old song, "This is my Father's world." The birds, their carols rise. The morning light, the lily bright, declares their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass I hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas. His hands the wonders wrought. He did it all. He did it all. And you know why the evolutionists are fighting against it? God did it by his Son.
Right. That's why.
That's it.
That's why.
Just another globe of the Antichrist.
Yeah. Right.
That's it.
Right.
That's it. And if we ever give up creation, we get on the slippery slope of giving up redemption, because our Redeemer is our Creator.
Right.
Amen.
They've got in our seminars now, in our schools now, they've got this big debate. Why don't we just go ahead and compromise on creation? It don't really matter. Let's concentrate on redemption and go ahead and compromise on creation. You compromise on creation, and before long, you'll compromise redemption.
Yes, that's right.
Slippery slope, isn't it?
Yeah.
I just can't see it. I don't think that's it. I think the problem is men just won't believe it.
Yeah,
that's right.
Without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Yes.
It is. Why don't sinners come to God by Christ? Why don't they come and receive this life? Come and receive life and salvation at the hands of Christ. Receive it in a scriptural way, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord. How do we receive Him? We receive Him into an empty heart. We count all loss and dung that we may receive Him. We receive Him in all of His fullness, in all of His merit. Why don't we come and receive Christ? You know, the only essential answer to that is this. Men just don't believe the record that God gave of His Son. If a man believes the record, he comes, doesn't he?
Amen.
He receives this life.
Yes.
And those who don't believe it, they don't come. And that's the two people that's in this world, two classes. You got those that believe the record and those that don't.
Right.
If you're here and you believe God, you're a saved person.
Right.
Somebody said, now Bruce, there's a lot of people that believe God and they're not saved. No, brothers and sisters, there's not.
There you go. That's exactly right.
How could I come here and preach to you with any confidence if I come here and said, you believe God and yet you're lost? That's impossible. You believe God's record, you're a saved person. Now that's the confidence and assurance you can have. You believe Him? You believe His record? I believe the record, brothers and sisters. Look what he said here in verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, and we do all the time, don't
we?
We do.
We do, and we should. How could we live in this world if we didn't receive the witness of men? I wouldn't know how to got over here to Crow, West Virginia, without somebody giving me directions. And you fellas that use the little gadgets, you know, you plug in and tell where you're going to, and she says in 200 feet, turn right. You receive her testimony, don't you? We go to court, and you swear to tell the whole truth and not the truth, and we receive their testimony. We're always receiving people's testimony. There's a fellow came yesterday, and he said, I wouldn't have been here, but the weatherman told me it was going to rain, so I can't cut hay. He received his testimony. Unless there's a good reason not to, we receive men's testimony. Well, that being true, since we receive the witness of men, how much more should we receive the witness of God?
Amen.
Because His witness, he said here, is greater.
Yeah.
In what sense is God's testimony and witness greater than man's? Well, consider this. Man can err. But God's too wise to err.
Yes.
Men can lie. All men are liars, really. God cannot lie.
Right.
Amen.
Men may change their testimony.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
What they tell you today, they may change tomorrow. But I am the Lord. I change not. What He tells you in His Word today is true tomorrow.
Right.
Amen.
It's truth. It's true. heaven and earth may pass away, but not my word. Amen. Not my word. And note this, God's witness and record is more honorable to him and more critical to us than man because of the subject matter.
There you go.
We take man's witness in these temporal things, in carnal matters, but God's record is concerning his eternal son that he loves and that he honors. And his record is concerning that eternal life which you and I must have, or we're going to perish. God's testimony is more critical than man. Look at the ways that God has testified of his son. Now consider this with me just a few minutes. This is the record that God has testified of his son. Search the scriptures. These are they which testify of me. Isn't it amazing when you read the Old Testament scriptures and then bring them over into the New Testament and you see them fulfilled? Doesn't that just increase your confidence in the infallibility of God's Word, the truthfulness of His Word? When something was written 2,000 or 4,000 years, and then 4,000 years later it was fulfilled?
Yes.
When our Lord was born of a virgin, there in Matthew chapter 1, when that angel appeared to Joseph and he's about ready to put Mary away, and he said, "Joseph, don't be fearful to take unto you Mary to be your wife. For that thing which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. And all of this was done that it might be fulfilled which was written in the prophets.
Yeah.
A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son."
Amen.
That was written, 15, 16, 1700 years before the Lord's birth. And then when the Master hung upon the cross and he had yielded up the ghost, and they came to break his legs and saw that he was dead already, and they break not his legs. Why didn't they break his legs? Because it was already prophesied, "Not a bone of him shall be broken."
Amen. Amen.
So the Holy Spirit put in the word, "This was done that it might be fulfilled."
Yeah.
And it's just amazing when you see this, when you see God fulfilling all the Old Testament prophecies. He had these little group of apostles that they had no idea what was going on. They were just like a little bunch of puppy dogs following him around, and they didn't know much about what was happening. Sometimes he would tell them something, it would scare them to death.
Sure. Yeah.
He got them in all of these predicaments. He got them in these storms where they thought they was going to drown. He got the Pharisees mad at them.
Yeah.
And then something right in the midst would happen, and they didn't bring it to pass.
No.
All this was done. If it had been left up to those apostles to fulfill in their wisdom and their understanding, their ability to fulfill, well, that wouldn't have come to pass. It came to pass because the Word of God is true. It's the record of God that He's testified of His Son. This is the record of God. This is the record. How many times did the Father Himself speak from heaven and bear witness to His Son and said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased"?
Amen.
There at His baptism, when the Holy Spirit came down and the Father spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son. I'm well pleased in Him." He bore witness. This is the record that God hath given concerning His Son. Upon the Mount of Transfiguration, a voice spake out of the cloud, "This is my beloved Son, hear Him." The cloud there in John chapter 12 that overshadowed them, and a voice spake from the cloud, and they said it thundered, but it was the Father speaking and said, "I've glorified my name and I'll glorify it again." And the Lord Jesus said, "This didn't come for my sake. This come for your sake. For you. That you may know that the Father has sent me and He's bore witness to it."
Yes.
How do we know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? The record God gave.
Right.
The record God gave. What about all the works? The works that my Father hath given me to do, the same bear witness to me that I am the Son of God. I am the sent one of God. And man, he did the works, didn't he?
Yeah.
He opened the eyes of a man that was born blind. And that poor fella, from his birth, his parents, I guess, had told him, son, listen, you got no hopes of ever seeing him because it's never happened before.
Sure.
Nobody that's been born blind was ever seeing. You know the Lord Jesus opened his eyes.
Yes, he did.
Amen.
Why did he do that? It was the works the Father gave to him to bear witness that he's the Christ.
Yeah.
That woman came that she was dying, an issue of blood. She just touched the hem of his garment and she was made whole.
Amen.
Man full of leprosy in his dying hours, the Lord Jesus just spoke to him and said, be thou clean. And he was clean. John the Baptist, I guess he fell into all kinds of doubts, and he sent his disciples and said, go ask him if he's the one.
Yeah. Right.
Or do we look for another?
Yeah.
And they went and said, listen, John has sent us and he wants to know if you're the true Messiah or you're the one that God sent. And boy, in that same hour, he healed the lame, gave sight to the blind, cured the lepers.
Yep.
And he said, go tell John what you've seen.
There you go. Right.
And they went back and told John. And you know what John just had to believe in his heart? This is him. How do you know, John? Because he's doing the works that the Father sent him to do. How do we know that Jesus is the Christ? These works bear witness of him.
Yeah.
When the Lord ascended back to heaven, the Father sent another witness to testify. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, even the Spirit of truth. And when he has come, he shall testify of me.
Amen.
He's still here today, is he not?
Yeah.
Amen.
He's come to some of your hearts, hasn't he?
Yeah.
God has sent him to your heart to reveal Christ to you. And he's in your heart and he's saying, Father, Father, Father. Have you ever bowed and all you could say was Father? But you found so much comfort in just saying, Father, Father. And sometimes when you're under his chastening hand and you refuse to call him Father, he'll put a check on your conscience. Because he's your Father.
There you go. That's
even right. If you're under his chastening hand, he's your Father.
Amen.
And you've got the Spirit of his Son in your heart bearing witness to that.
Yes, sir.
The Holy Spirit, he's our witness. And then he moved upon these poor apostles, and they bore witness. Look here what they said. Look here in 1 John chapter 1. Look in verse 1. I'm just talking about the record now that God gave of his Son. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. And he's left us ample witness that Jesus is his blessed Son. Look in chapter 1 in verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, it was revealed, and we have seen it. And look at this. We bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We have witnesses.
Yes.
He raised up these apostles, give them the Holy Spirit, and said, listen, you write down in these epistles, and you go preaching that I am the Christ.
Right.
I was revealed to you. And brothers and sisters, I'm going to believe what they tell me.
I am too.
Amen.
I am too.
You may err and tell me wrong. I may err and tell you wrong. But when you open up the pages and read these epistles of these holy men of God, you can believe what they told
you.
Amen.
They bore witness that Jesus Christ. Look what he said in chapter 4 and verse 14. He tells it again. And we have seen and testified that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. He didn't send His Son to condemn this world. It was condemned already.
Condemned already, yeah.
He didn't send a destroyer. He sent us a Savior.
Yeah.
Do you need a Savior? Do you want a Savior? Oh, this is God's record. He sent us one to save us from our sins. Oh, the witness. This is the record. This is it. And you know it's sealed. I mean, by saying that, nothing else is going to be added to it.
Right.
We've got folks in our day that's getting new revelations. This charismatic movement is taken by storm. I heard one man say the other day, the fastest growing religion in the world today is charismatics, Pentecostalism. We've even got Calvinistic charismatics.
Yeah, right.
Calvin is speaking in tongues.
Right.
And they're getting these new revelations.
Yeah.
You know, you see them saying, I got a word of knowledge. God has given me a word of knowledge. And then they'll proclaim something. God has given you something new. You don't need His record anymore. You're so important. That God's not going to set you down and teach you from His record. He's going to give you something new. He's exalted His word over His name.
Right.
And He's exalted you over your word, over His word. Man, you must be important. Could I just follow you around? Maybe carry your, start to say carry your Bible, but no, they don't need a Bible. Do they? Maybe sweep your driveway, wash your laundry. You're somebody, boy. Isn't that the height of pride?
That's what they look like.
God has given me a word of knowledge. God maybe have given him a strong delusion.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Right, brother.
Brothers and sisters, listen. We've got the record.
We got the record.
Amen.
We've got the record.
Yes.
We don't need this. We don't need to speak in tongues. We don't need these signs and wonders and miracles that they had back in the New Testament.
Right.
That was for a reason.
Right.
That was to authenticate the gospel.
Right.
But the gospel is authenticated.
Amen.
And you'll never authenticate
Amen.
It again. You just preach it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
He gave those apostles these miracles to do. But those miracles have ceased. They spake in tongues, but those tongues have ceased. We got one now that we can't hardly keep control of.
Right. Exactly.
And we ought to use this one to glorify His blessed name.
Amen.
We've got the Holy Spirit. All these signs and miracles that the Holy Spirit was doing with them back then has ceased.
Yeah.
And now we have the Holy Spirit bearing witness, being in our midst as the church, in our hearts. And brothers and sisters, He bears witness to this record.
Right.
And we don't need anything else,
no,
do we?
Nothing else.
We don't need anything else. But that's some of this rubbish.
Yeah.
And we have to always packing it out on
them.
Yeah.
Always packing it out. What are you going to believe?
Yeah.
Believe the record? Just believe the record.
Yeah.
Believe the record.
Yeah.
And it's a seal record. Don't seek for anything else outside this Bible.
Right.
The Holy Spirit
right.
don't give anything else outside
right.
this Bible.
Amen.
If you're seeking it, you may find it.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, it won't do you any good when you're
right.
To the law and to the testimony.
Yeah.
If they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in
right.
them. And if the light is in you, it's darkness. How great is that darkness? Oh, I want to know God. I want to know Christ. I don't want to know Him apart from His word.
Amen. Right.
That's right.
And His blessed Holy Spirit.
Right. Yeah.
This is the record. And here's what he said. This is the record. Verse 11. Look what he says here. This is the record. This is the record. This is God's record. This is all God's got to say to us.
Amen.
And this is all we should desire. This is the record. That God hath given to us eternal life. What do we see here? This is the record of God concerning life, that it's a gift.
Amen.
It's a gift.
Amen.
Oh, how helpful that is. I spent all my teenage years trying to earn it. And he never would give it to me because you can't earn it. And when he brought me and broke me and said, "No, I'm not letting you earn a thing.
There you go.
You've done earned what you deserve. You get what you earned, you'll go to hell.
Yeah.
You want my life? I'll give it to you." Life is a gift.
Yes.
That's why he can give it to whoever he's pleased.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Shall I not do with my own what I will? What is the record of God concerning life? That it's a gift.
Yeah.
I give unto them eternal life. What's the source of this life? In one source. And this life is in His Son.
Yes.
It's a gift. It's eternal. And He says here that is in His Son. I ain't going to comment on that, but I just wanted to read that so you could just get that in your mouth and roll it around and taste the sweetness of that.
Yes.
This is the record of God. He's given you life. It's not a temporary life.
Right.
It's eternal life.
Yes.
You'll never perish if you have this life.
Right.
And the source of this life is in heaven. And as long as the source is alive, the stream will never
Amen.
Run dry.
Amen.
Well, as I get older, and you're probably the same way, see the vanities of this life, things that I used to long and covet after, I begin now to see the uselessness of them.
Right.
Me and my wife bought an old house and remodeled it. Man, we about worked ourselves to death trying to remodel that old house. And I laid down in the bed a few days ago and I was looking up the ceiling. There's a huge crack right across the top of the bed. And it comes all the way down the wall and goes all the way down to the footer. And I thought to myself, I hope this thing stands till I'm out of here. What do we do? We do things, then we have to redo them, we have to undo them. We take care of our health, we try to exercise some, but look what's happening to them. Our families, my family has absolutely come apart. I'll tell you this, not for pity. My daughter's been married four times. My son's been married twice, living with a woman now that's not his. My youngest son has three children. His wife left him. I have three children. You talk about a dysfunctional family. I've got a dysfunctional family. I have laid on my bed and I asked my wife one day, I said, "Honey, are you all right?" And she said, "I'm so heavy that I'm forcing myself to breathe."
Yeah.
I know what Solomon said when he said, "All is vanity and vexation of spirit." That's where we're at. It's coming apart. Society breaking down. Everything is uncertain and breaking down. But oh, when you open this blessed Bible, here's where you find stability of your mind and your heart. And you can look at this life and you can look out into eternity and say, "Oh, this is enough. The record of God is enough."
Yeah.
And just believe it. Just believe it. In the face of everything, in the face of confusion, in the face of your house breaking down, your body breaking down, just open God's record and say, "Here it is, boy. Here it is." And boy, the stability then that will come to your mind, your thoughts. It'll make you like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Make you like that old oak tree out here. Nothing's going to blow you over. Here I stand, I can do no other. Oh, God's blessed record. The record of all things. Bless His holy name. All flesh is grass. All the glory of man is as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth away. But the word of our God endures forever. How He must love us.
Yeah.
How He must love us to give us this Bible and tell us to believe it.
Yeah.
It's not our responsibility to bring these things to pass. It's our responsibility just to believe Him. He does the work.
Yeah.
Who got those children out of that furnace?
Yeah.
Who went in there with them?
Yeah.
All they did was trust.
Yeah.
They just trusted in Him, and He delivered. Trust in the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding.
Yes.
In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your steps. That's His business to do that. Your business is just to trust Him. And then marvel as He directs your steps. I'm getting worse in my own eyes, aren't you? But you know it doesn't matter anymore. I used to trust in my feelings. Still do. I'm sorry, I still do. How I feel. I put so much confidence in my feelings. But when He comes right down to it, it'd be one thing that matters. And that's this record.
Right, this record. That's right.
Nothing else matters. This record.
This record.
In the face of my utter confusion, nothing else matters. My doubts, my fears, nothing else matters. I never read any place in the Bible where God condemns somebody for not feeling. Have you?
No.
The only person I ever read that was deceived by his feelings was poor old Jacob. When he felt Isaac, when he felt Jacob's arm, remember that? Let me feel you.
Yeah,
you're Esau, all right. Oh, Isaac, bless your heart, that's not Esau. Well, he feels like Esau. You better not go according to your feelings.
Right.
Feelings come. Feelings go.
Right.
Feelings are deceiving.
Yeah.
Our warrant is the Word of God.
Right.
Aught else is worth believing. Look here in chapter 3. Look right back over here in chapter 3. Look at this. Look in verse 23. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave His command. This is what He commands us to feel.
He
didn't say that, did he? God's going to condemn you if you don't feel. No. Here's our warrant. Not feelings, but God's Word. That's where we honor Him. If I wanted to offend you this afternoon, this morning, you know what I'd call you? I'd say, Mike, you're a liar. Ooh, boy, I'd get a fight out of you, wouldn't I? Walter, you're a liar. Boy, that makes you mad, don't they? Get you upset, buddy. We get some of the kids around the house playing sometime, and then you hear that word scream out, you're a liar! And boy, it sends chills through the house. Wait a minute, come around here, children. We got to talk about this. Can you imagine when a man opens up this Bible and says, that's not true?
Right. Exactly. Go ahead, brother.
You talk about dishonoring God.
Yes, sir.
You talk about a reproach on God. The way to dishonor Him is just not to believe Him.
Yeah.
Feel Him? No. He doesn't ask you to feel. He says, believe me.
Right. Amen.
Believe the record that I've gave of my Son. That's all we got to go by, brothers and sisters. And I just got a hunch it may not get any better in our day. It may get worse. And we're going to appreciate this record that God has left us before it's over. You think we got some little groups now. Wait a few years.
You're right.
It may not be this. We may look back on this day and say, oh, what a revival we had, didn't we?
A mega church.
A mega church. A mega church. Believe the record.
Yes.
Amen.
God staked His honor on His record.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Old John Jasper, we was talking about John Jasper. John Jasper was an old black slave. He pastored a church here somewhere in Virginia. What was it, Mike?
Yeah, Richmond.
Richmond, Virginia for 35 after they freed him as a slave. His master would just let him preach at funerals. But he was a pretty good preacher. But he believed God's record. He went around rejoicing, and he would just feel with so much confidence. And they asked him, they said, Mr. Jasper, why are you always so confident about your salvation? He said, well, I just believe God. God said, believe Him, and I just believe Him. And they said, well, what if you get up to heaven And God won't let you in. And he said, well, I'm in trouble. He said, if I get up to heaven and God won't let me in, I'm going to lose my soul.
Yeah.
But he said, I tell you this, God's going to lose more than I do.
There you go.
If God has told me the truth and I believe the truth and God fails to uphold that truth, then he'll cease to be God.
Right. Yeah.
It'll never happen, brothers. You stake your eternal redemption upon the truth in this word that it's in Christ, it's by Christ. You believe the record of God, and I'm telling you, heaven will be your home.
Amen.
And you can live with a confidence in it. These things have I written to you that you may know.
Amen.
When you're down and have no feelings.
Yeah.
When the Holy Spirit seemingly just don't witness to your heart.
Yeah.
You can still know.
Yeah.
Why? Because these things have I written.
Yeah.
That you may know that you have eternal life.
Yes.
Listen to John chapter 20 verse 21. I love this passage. Thomas said, except I see the prints in his hands, the hole in his side. The Lord rebuked him from that, didn't he?
Yeah.
These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. How do we know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? It's written.
It's written.
This Bible is written to prove who he is. And that believing this record,
right,
you might have life, yes, through his name.
Right.
Believe the record, brother.
Yes.
If I had one thing to leave you young people with, you old people, one thing. This is God's record. Believe it.
Right.
Believe it. Old F.B. Myers, an old preacher, lived in London years and years ago. He was talking about this very thing, speaking to a lady about this salvation that's in Christ, that's received by faith. This little note said she couldn't understand his message and told him so. She had invited him to tea one day. And as they sat at the table, she had set some tea in front of him. And he said, Madam, may I please have a cup of tea? And she looked at his table and said, why, Mr. Myers, you already have a cup of tea. A little later, he said again, would you please give me a cup of tea? And she replied, why, Mr. Myers, don't you see the cup of tea is right there before your plate? In a few minutes, he said again, would you please give me a cup of tea? I am so tired and I need a cup of tea. She, utterly bewildered, said, and then she caught herself. Oh, now I see. Now I see. Mr. Myers, now I see. I see what you mean. The blessings of the Lord, His power, His forgiveness, His life is right here before me. I have been asking and asking and asking and asking instead of receiving, 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 receiving. Quit looking to your feelings. Stop trying to pray something down from heaven. What saith the Scripture? Christ is near us. He's right here. I don't understand this, but reach out and embrace Him. Receive Him. Believe Him.
Yes.
Zacchaeus made haste and came down and received Him joyfully.
Amen.
God bless you. God bless you, man. God bless your church. Lord bless His work here. Wonderful place to be.
Thank you.